All right, good evening. So I'm going to try something a little different tonight. It's open. Yeah. Let's just open with a word of prayer, though. Father, we thank you for this time where we can come together and open your word and see how amazing your creation is and just what a great creator you are and just the character that you show us through your word and through your creation as well. And just give us clarity tonight and just keep me from error and just help somebody to, or all of us to take just one thing away tonight to be more like your son. In his name I pray, amen. Okay, so like I said, it's going to be a little bit different. So I'm almost a physical therapist now. So I'm going to start with sort of a anatomy lesson. And then we're going to go into, as I was preparing to, prepare to speak. Was just listening to the last month of messages here at the chapel, and Mr. Dave read the passage that I was already thinking about reading. It's in Genesis 27. You can be turning there if you'd like. Just the story of how Jacob and Rebekah basically deceived Isaac. How does the anatomy fit into all this? I thought it was interesting. Always have. It mentions all five of his human senses in the passage. So we're going to look at that and how they were flawed. He got one of them right. We're going to see that. So it's a lot of things. And then, of course, I wanted to tie it back into, our Lord Jesus Christ. So anatomy lesson, we'll read about Isaac some, and then we're going to read about, God in the Old Testament using these same senses that he's given us, as well as in the New Testament, during the incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you can tell, we're going to be covering a lot. I always pack way too much in, so y'all are going to have to listen fast again. Another, just a few more themes, I was wanting to focus on, being more disciplined. I don't know about y'all, but that's difficult for me to do, like godly discipline, the weakness of the flesh, and then reminded just a week ago of, God's mercy, and how it is, forever enduring with us. And then just this last Sunday, Mr. Tim took us through some of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and how Christ's ethical teachings are sort of flipped upside down to what the people were used to of that day. And I can sort of see a tie-in with the message tonight. So with that being said, let's... get started here. So Mr. Dave was sort of covering this passage in preparation for the Minor Prophets. We're going to be looking at it from a different side of things, and just how his Isaac's senses, human senses, if I can get y'all's help, just to name the five senses real quick of the human body. Sight, hearing. Smell, hearing, touch, and taste. So y'all know what I'm talking about. I always like to talk on stuff that everybody can relate to. Most of the time it's about sin, and we're going to talk about that too, because we're all humans, but we all have this in common as well. So just being in PT school, having dissected a full cadaver, I've been constantly amazed how God has created us in our bodies. So if I could get Mr. Ray, signal him up. So all of us know that we have a brain, hopefully. Yeah. The main things that, you know, most everybody knows: central nervous system, peripheral nervous system. Central, containing the brain that's in your skull, going down to your spinal cord. And then the peripheral fills in the gaps all the way down to your fingers and toes. It's okay.
I got this. You want the brain?
Yeah.
Talk them, go ahead.
So, but keep the, can you keep this one up?
Sure.
Maybe a new tab or something. So this is, well, go ahead, go ahead. Well, you can just go back to the other one. It'll be fine. And then the other one's right there. Perfect. I can just click.
Which one do you want?
We'll click that one.
Okay. You name it?
That's it.
You good?
Yep. You can turn it off after I'm done talking about that second. Okay, so you can't see it. It looks better on my iPad, but this is the brain. This is a part of your central nervous system. So what are all these Roman numerals? These are all cranial nerves. Some of you might have heard of them. Really, it's amazing. All of these nerves, we have 12 pairs per side, 12 pairs, so 12 on each side of our brain. They're responsible for basically all of our senses, and they are disconnected from our central, I mean, they're connected, of course. They feed directly into the brain, so they don't have to go through the spinal cord. So it's like direct access. So they control your eyes, eye movement, being able to focus your eyes on a certain at a certain distance. Smell, the one for smell is called the olfactory. Pretty easy to remember, the olfactory smell. Taste, three of them are for your taste. And sorry, I forgot to mention, there's four that just control your eyes. So a quarter of these, my math right, Dad? 4 out of 12. A quarter of these nerves are just designated to your eye movements and stuff like that. Smell, I probably messed it up. Smell, only one. Taste, there's three that supply your taste to your tongue. Hearing, it's just one. We're going to talk about that one in more detail. That one is vestibulocochlear nerve. That one's amazing to me. We're going to focus on like sight and hearing. And then, of course, touch. Some of these cranial nerves have sensory input. That just means that it's telling your brain, like, you know, touching your face and touching your eye. The cranial nerves aren't responsible for, like, your skin of your arms and legs. They come from your spinal cord. A couple of just interesting things. These cranial nerves is what makes it possible for like a spinal cord injury in the neck. This is what helps them be able to keep surviving, because they don't have any sensation coming from their spinal cord, no innervation to their organs. But this cranial nerve here, vagus number 10, it goes all the way down, helps with the heart and lungs, and also, you know, digestion and stuff. So it's really amazing, even if, you know, the higher spinal cord injuries at like your second and third, it's a lot harder just because your breathing is impaired. But anything from like C4 down, they're still able to live, of course, impaired. But it's amazing that they're able to remain living with us. So we're going to talk a little bit about this one right here. I don't know if some of us might be struggling with our balance. The cranial nerve 8, it's for balance, as well as one of our balance systems, as well as hearing. And then also vision. I was just treating a patient today, and balance is a big thing that we treat in PT. And vestibular is one thing that we target, and we target that by doing different head movements, just because I need to switch. Let's see. So this is, might not be able to see it here, but so this is your ear right here. This is your ear canal, eardrum. This is where we get sound, but also right beside it, the internal ear system. And then this black square is blown up here. I just wanted to touch on this. This is just so amazing to me. And then this is the cranial nerve that innervates this whole system. So just focusing on the balance part of this. Here we have the utricle and the saccule. They have these little hairs, and they have these little crystals that sit on top of them. Okay. If anybody's ever heard of vertigo, that's when these crystals get out of place. They drift out of the utricle, and they go down these canals. Okay, this is like the closest thing that we treat in PT that's like sort of like healing somebody. So they can come in, and sometimes some of them can't even sleep at night. They're just laying back, and their head's just spinning like vertigo. That's just these crystals that have gotten out of place in these canals, and it's very sensitive. It's like when you're on a roller coaster and you get just like jostled around. That's like something. And then as we get older, this, the gel that they stay in, it can get like watered down and just over time get worse and worse. But we do this like maneuver in PT, and we lay back on the table pretty quick and turn your head to the side that's bothering you. And we look at your eyes, and the way your eyes, it's amazing to watch. You won't believe it, but while I'm telling you, but you can look it up. Your eyes tick a certain way. And the way your eyes tick, it tells us which canal the crystals are in and are displaced in. And based on that, we do maneuvers. They're uncomfortable. Sometimes people throw up because they get motion sickness and everything. But the last two patients I've had, one of them, it was just a simple, it's another term for it is just BPPV, which is the easiest to treat in the posterior canal. This one right here, it's the most common as well. But we do one maneuver, and then all of a sudden, all of her symptoms of dizziness and like nauseousness are just completely gone. And it just is amazing to me. And honestly, I think it's a miracle that, how did we even figure it out that worked like that? Or it's just mind-boggling to me. So I probably spent too much time on that, but. So that's most of the anatomy lesson. It just makes me praise and worship the Lord to see how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. As we're about to see in Genesis 27, even our senses are not immune to the fallen and cursed world. And the world and our flesh can tempt us by using our senses, as we're about to see in Genesis 27. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 of Genesis 27, and then 11 through 29. Genesis 27, now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." Then Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a delicious meal for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." So in that first passage, we see in verse 1, we see his first sense, and we see that it's abnormal. It's not normal. His eyes are too dim to see because of his age. Some of you can relate to that in this room, I'm sure. And I'd like to say I'm still young, but even I have eye problems. I'm thankful for contacts. I don't think I could do anything coordinated without them. So now, verses 11 through 29, we might go down to, just for time's sake. So just for context, Rebekah comes up with this plan. Jacob buys into it. He asks questions, what if I am cursed rather than I'm blessed? They go get goats. He brings it in. Rebekah puts Esau's garments on Jacob. And so now Jacob's coming to his father. Let's start in verse 18. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Come now, sit and eat of my game so that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have come? How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God made it come to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close so that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." Last time Mr. Dave covered this, he's looking for some hair. Esau is the hairy one. So Jacob came close to his father, Isaac, and he touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him and he ate. And he also brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be the one who cursed you, and blessed be the one who blesses you." So in that second passage, we see his voice. So Isaac's hearing was still pretty good. That's the only one that he got right. But he was deceived by the hands. They put the goat's fur on Jacob. Then we see that he ate and he drank. One commentator even mentioned that Rebekah might have seasoned the goat's meat differently to taste like venison. So in that case, he would have been deceived. I mean, of course, that's not pointed out deliberately in Scripture, but the thought is there. And then also the smell. He smelled the smell of his garments. Even as a kid, and even now, I can like walk into different people's houses, and it's just like, you know, a different smell. I can tell when I'm in my parents' house or when I'm in my next-door neighbor's house. I don't know if it's like just the detergent or what, but something about garments, you know. You want them to smell good. So we see all that. I think we got. So just points about Isaac's senses. His eyes were dimmed. Again, this is one of our most dominant senses as humans. You know, animals, you know, they have different senses that are more dominant, like dogs. They can smell better. Turkeys can see better, stuff like that. Ours, we're dominantly vision, but I was just amazed thinking, like, just how many times do you use your senses in the day and you don't even think about it, like driving or even like listening to me now. You're using your eyes, you're using your fingers to flip through your Bible. Hopefully you're not smelling somebody, but maybe you're smelling the coffee or something. We just use our senses so much. Again, a quarter or four out of the 12 of our cranial nerves are designated just for eye movement and visual sensory information. And honestly, that's probably why they knew we couldn't see. That's probably why they thought they could pull this scheme off. And they ended up being right, just because we are so dependent on our vision. So then in verse 22 and 23, Isaac, the voice, that's the one thing Jacob was not able to deceive his father with. And even though he knew that it sounded like Jacob. He gave in to the majority of his senses and just went along with it, believing his other senses over his hearing. Apparently Isaac liked to eat. I'm sure we can all relate to that. He was wanting a meal such as he loved. That's mentioned several times. As Americans, we can relate to that, I'm sure. And so the first four, he's one for four right now, going up until verse 27, and it seems like the smell was the factor that just made Isaac bite the bait, if you will, and believe that this was really Esau. Okay, so just some lessons I think we can take from this portion from Isaac. Isaac made the mistake of trusting his feelings. The hairy arm felt like Esau's when it was actually Jacob. In the same way, we should not trust our emotional feelings in spiritual matters. Martin Luther observed, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. Our warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. So I think that's a very important thing that most of us know, and we just need to be aware of, you know, our senses aren't really our feelings. Our feelings, you know, are coming from our heart, and but what comes into our brain definitely affects how we feel. So a little bit more, moving sort of away from this passage in Genesis, just wanted to you know, use this as an example, and I thought it was interesting that, you know, the five senses are in there. I want to focus on how we use our senses for God's glory. And, you know, just sort of the mind-boggling stuff about this. You know, he made us with five senses. You know, he could have made us with just two, and we wouldn't have ever known any difference. He could have made us with seven, you know. Along with this, in a previous message this month, our Father is grieved by our sin, and he's grieved by the chaos that sin causes in our life. And the longer I live, the more I can see the destructiveness of sin in my life, as well as it affects others. And so tonight, I hope that this can help us see our sin the way that our Father does, and how much it grieves him, and may it grieve us as well. And just sort of thinking about, you know, why God created us with our senses, you know, we use them to learn, and it's ultimately to understand who he is, to enjoy him and his creation as much as possible. Our senses, it's literally how everything we've ever learned comes into our brain. You know, it's sort of what, you know, makes us human. We have the ability to learn, and I think I've taken that for granted so much, you know, especially like during my time of education. It's been a long time, but it's, you know, it's amazing how we're able to just soak it in. And like my little cousins, they're in like the Splash program, and they can speak Spanish and English. You know, kids are more like a sponge than we are. It's just amazing how we are able to use our senses to learn more about his creation and ultimately about him. But as we discussed, the sin entered into the world, its effects are broad, and even our senses can become seared and unreliable, as we see from Isaac's experience as well. So this sort of made me think about the message from Sunday, how Jesus took what the people knew and sort of flipped it, and sort of already explained this. You know, the world is telling us to use our senses for our pleasure instead of, you know, us yielding to the Spirit that we've been given as believers to overcome the flesh. And it's only possible through our yielding to the Spirit, as we're told in Romans 8. So sort of changing gears, we've already learned from Isaac, our senses and feelings can betray us, and that we should be cautious making decisions solely based on our senses and our feelings instead of basing them in accordance with the Word of God. So we're going to look at how the blessings of God blessing us with these senses, as well as like just a brief sort of, you know, look at the Old Testament, how God used these senses in the Old Testament, and then we're going to spend the majority of the rest of the time on our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, if I can get you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Mama forgot her glasses, so we're going to sort of have a sword drill, so you'll just have to listen along. So Exodus 20 is the first one we'll read, but I'm going to just go through some just for the sake of time. So we're going to go vision, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. So first off, vision. My mind just went to Hagar in the desert. In Genesis chapter 16, she says, "You're the Lord who sees me," when she was, you know, fleeing from Sarah, her master. And she calls God the one who sees me. You're the God who sees. Also in 2 Chronicles 16, one of Dr. Jeff's favorite verses, "For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart are completely his." This is the God of the Old Testament. And number two, we'll look at hearing, where y'all are turned. Exodus chapter 20, this is at Mount Sinai, and this is when the people are like overwhelmed at the voice of God. We'll start in at verse 19 of chapter 20. So they've, just for context, I'll start at verse 18. "And all the people were watching and hearing the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it all, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die.' However, Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you will not sin.' So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'This is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. You yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven.'" So not directly like the Lord hearing, but, you know, his voice. He was conveying his voice to the people there, and it was awesome, and they were even scared to even hear it. Next, we'll look at touch. Several passages came to mind. We'll look at 1 Kings chapter 19. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. But just thinking about some of the stories of the Old Testament where the Lord touched a human. You think of Adam in the garden and how he created Eve from a rib. This one in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. All of them are like miraculous. Miraculous things happen when the Lord touches you, when the Lord touches somebody. So this is the story of Elijah, chapter 19, verses 4. through 8. This is when I believe he's fleeing from Jezebel. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked for himself to die and said, "Enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then he lay down and fell asleep under a broom tree, but behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a round loaf of bread baked on hot coals and a pitcher of water. So he ate and he drank, and he lay down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him, and he said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too long for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he journeyed in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. So we see, you know, the touch of God is miraculous. And, you know, we sing that song, "He Touched Me." It's a great song, and we can relate to this. The Lord has touched us and saved us from our sin. I also think about Jeremiah, the prophet. Not this Jeremiah. He touched his mouth and gave him his words to speak. And then I thought of also, we just read about Isaac and Jacob. Jacob, when he, you know, wrestled with what seems to be the angel of God, his hip is dislocated, but he also receives the blessing of his name change to Israel. So now we'll move to taste, and just for time's sake, I won't make you turn there. So when I thought of taste in the Old Testament, I think of Genesis chapter 18, when the angel of the Lord and the two destroying angels come and visit Abraham and tell him that he's going to have a son. Sarah, laughs, and then the two destroying angels are going to Sodom, and this is where Abraham is sort of being a mediator, and he provides the Lord and his angels food to eat. Also in Psalm 34, a familiar verse, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man that takes refuge in him." And then even further, we're going to get to, hopefully, the New Testament. You know, Christ touches the lame, the leprous, and the deaf. And then the smell, like the sense of smell in the Old Testament, we read in Leviticus chapter 2. One interesting thing that I found was its length with frankincense would be linked with the grain offering. And frankincense, you know, sound familiar? That's going to come up later when we're talking about the Lord and his burial and the gifts from the Magi. So we see the Lord using these same senses in the Old Testament to bless and communicate with mankind. And now, hopefully in 8 minutes, I can hopefully make the main points and talk about the important part here about our Lord Jesus Christ and the incarnation. Very convicted, you know, reading through the Gospels and the New Testament on how the Lord used his senses and how short I come up in comparison. So sight, if you'll turn to Matthew 9, 36, a couple of things here I'm going to have to read some of these pretty quick. And so Matthew 9, 36. So he's going throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every sickness. Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." So there we see that he sees the distress and the downcast, and he has compassion for them. And just the thought I had about, you know, the vision of our, like the physical vision of our Lord, he was only 33 years old when he died. He never, you know, you know, Isaac's eyes were dimmed because of his old age. He never, you know, he might have, but it's not brought out in Scripture that he, you know, dealt with the dimming of his eyes. Also thought about in Matthew 5, I'm sure Mr. Tim will cover this when we go, keep going through chapter 5 there, but the teaching of the plucking out of the eye, if it's causing you to sin, pluck it out. And one commentator I read, is this a literal thing where, you know, why aren't we all have our eyes gouged out, you know? It's literal to the extent that if it were necessary to lose a member rather than one soul, then we should gladly part with the member. Just because the soul is worth so much more. It's for eternal things, right? And fortunately, it is never necessary, as the Holy Spirit empowers the believer to live a holy life. And of course, that's easier said than done. We have to yield to the Spirit. So just for application, for vision, very convicting. I'm speaking to myself here. What are we allowing into our brains, coming through our eyes? And how do we see our sin? Do we see it as the Lord sees it? The more we see, as Mr. Dave was talking about, the mercy of God, the more we see how much our sin weighed on the cross, the more we'll see it as the Lord sees it, and how much it grieves him, and it'll grieve us the same way. Number two, hearing in the New Testament. This one's pretty cool. If you could turn to John chapter 9. So we all know the story of the blind man. That's where we're going in John 9. But in Romans 10:17, of course, we're told faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. John 9:35. So might not have time to read it, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So this blind man, he can't see him, but he can hear him. So John 9:35, Jesus heard. That's what we're going to focus on. Jesus heard that they had put him out. This is after he had healed him. The blind man couldn't see him, but he could hear him, and he obeyed his voice. And Jesus heard here in verse 35 that they had put him out, you know, like out of the synagogue. And upon finding him, it seems like he sort of went out of his way to find him. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered by saying, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "I believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. So there we see the actual playing out of that. Faith comes by hearing. He heard him. He had faith. He obeyed in hearing by the word of God. So application for hearing, same sort of thing came to my mind. What am I allowing into my mind through my ears? You know, a lot of the music I listen to, some of it's good, and sometimes I am doing better than others. But I am guilty of, you know, listening to things that have, you know, not pleasing things to the Lord in it. So definitely can work on that. Our brother Joshua Jones is very good about this. He is always a challenge to keep up with in this race that we're in. But memorizing Scripture and listening to the Bible as he's driving to work and stuff like that. And just wanted to remind you, I'm not saying like whatever comes in, that's what causes us to sin. You know, in Matthew 15, the Lord, you know, clears it up as far as eating. It's not what comes into the body that defiles, it's what comes out. But it's easier when we dwell on good things to not have the evil things come out, right? So now we'll move on to touch. We've got 2 minutes. So in Mark 1:40 through verse 42, and also in John 13, I was just thinking about the healing of the leper in Mark 1, and just how I have a little bit of experience with this. One guy came in with his finger just absolutely just crushed, and we unwrapped the bandage, and it's like, you know, oozing and stuff. And it's like, nobody really wants to touch that. But there's, you know, this guy's like has leprosy all over his body. And what does the Lord do? He touches him, even though it's contagious. So sort of the same vibe, not saying to go touch contagious stuff, but like it's like therapeutic, even like, you know, reaching out to somebody who is dealing with something that's embarrassing, you know, reaching out, grieving with them and trying to help them out. And then in John 13, thinking about how Jesus used his hands, you know, he grabbed a towel and he washed the disciples' feet. How humbling, you know, is that? Many messages have been spoken on just that. So the Lord used his sense of touch to heal and serve others. And so application, we live in a world that tells us to do whatever feels good to us instead of what we should do by yielding to the Holy Spirit and serving others. So I encourage you tonight to serve and love others. Our Lord grabbed a towel to wash feet. We should be able to humble ourselves and serve others and love others well, like that as well. And then might have to go a little bit over, but taste, two passages, Hebrews 2. Go look at these by yourself. Hebrews 2, 8 and 9, it's talking about how he tasted death for everyone. I would ask you if you know what tasting death feels like or tastes like, but you're still here, so you can't tell me. So perhaps even death has a specific taste to it. Matthew 27, also thought about that. He's on the cross, the ultimate amount of suffering. And they offer him bile to drink, which is what they would give to sort of as an opiate, and he refused it. One commentator said, for him it was necessary to bear the full load of man's sins with no impairment of his senses, no alleviation of pain. So we see the Lord denying that. And then smelling, was just going to talk about Leviticus again and how frankincense comes in and how the Lord was anointed twice and how when Martha anointed the feet, washed his feet with his hair, with her hair, and just how it filled the house, her worship filled the house, and it was a soothing aroma to the Lord. So just in conclusion, sorry, it was sort of everywhere, but the Lord has blessed us with five senses to learn to experience him and his creation better. I hope something that was said tonight has caused you to praise and worship the Lord and to thank him for blessing us with these amazing capabilities that we so often take for granted. And may we use these bodies the Lord has given us for his honor and glory during our time he has given us here. And I would like to close with just reading Romans 6, a couple of verses from there. I always try to pack too much in. We'll do verse 17 of Romans 6 to verse 22. Do you not know that the one to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of that same one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were entrusted. And after being freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. I am speaking to you in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you presented the parts of your body as slaves to impurity, to lawlessness, and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your body parts as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in relation to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. So I hope you can be challenged tonight, and Lord, help us to be more like his son. Thank you for your time.